Want to take the SoCal Sound with you anywhere? Download the SoCal Sound app to your mobile device. You could stream the SoCal Sound 24/7. See what song just played on our playlist, listen to an archived show, read an article from our newsfeed, stay up to date, or watch a SoCal Sound session. It's all there, and it's now Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. Download the SoCal Sound app today.
I'm Nick Harcourt, and we are here with Grasshopper and Jonathan from Mercury Rev. First of all, thank you for coming in and playing for us today.
Thank you, old friend.
It is so good to see you guys. There's a little history, I guess. I lived in Woodstock for a while when you guys were sort of up and coming.
Yes.
And we were just talking about it before we started filming and recording about the scene around there in the early to mid 90s. But your career has really taken you to a lot of different places. And the first time we did anything professionally was right here in Los Angeles in 1998 on my old show in Santa Monica on Deserter Songs, which is probably one of my favorite records ever. I mean, it is one of my favorite records ever. I just don't know where I put it in that top five, but it's there.
Yeah.
And you guys seem to sort of stop every now and then for a little while, and then you come back with a new record. And this one that just came out in the fall, Born Horses, it feels to me like some of the Mercury Rev 90s vibe is sort of being updated in this record. Is that a fair thing to say?
I think it is. And the time you spent in the Catskills, you would be closer than most to understand the background cosmic microwave sound to the Catskills than most people, you know. And probably that's there in a lot of ways in Born Horses. It's there in Grasshopper and I. And at some level, we were talking, you and I, and it's there in you, isn't it?
It is.
At some point.
It is.
There is some Catskills, not just the music and the history, but just those mountains and wherever anyone lives, it does have an effect on you. It's inspiring. It is that sort of soundtrack that's always going on behind you.
What is special about that place for you? I mean, we're talking about a vibe, but if you think about the Catskills, can you put it into words?
I mean, I love the seasons and the snow and then the summers. And just the majesty of the old rounded mountains and the Hudson River flowing through there. We just went to Mount Shasta. You know, we always stop at Mount Shasta when we're coming through the West Coast, but that also has that vibe to us where it's just like this magical place, you know. It's almost hard to put into words. It's just a feeling.
I mean, you may remember it from your time there. Is people seem to, many musicians and artists and entertainers, they live a fast life in New York City, and then they come up to slam into this neutral gear in Woodstock. Mm-hmm. And so you meet many people, you would have known many musicians there that are in a different part of their life than maybe we know them from fame-wise or from their big record. You know, you and I were just talking about many of the biggest musicians and artists. They live in the hills. They don't come down into the...
You don't see them in town with all the tourists.
No.
Right.
No.
You used the word majestic, I think, or majesty. And that word fits very well, I think, with the music of Mercury Rev. When you set out to do Born Horses, take us through the process. I mean, when you decided to do another album, were there songs already? Were there songs that you wrote for this? And then take us through the recording process.
Well, maybe with Grassi and I, it's kind of like looking at a painting in the Louvre and saying, when did he start painting that? And there's the physical first brush stroke, but there's all the emotional brush strokes that go on before the first paint hits the canvas. And so for us, you know, many of our inspirations that might be heard in Deserters or certainly Born Horses are people and music that Grassi and I grew up with, collectively loving people like Terry Riley, and Grassi loves jazz. And sometimes that just boils up to the surface, and certainly in Born Horses, where you can hear some influences of trumpets and sort of that blurry orchestration. That would be stuff that he and I have shared together now 40 years.
Many years,
yeah,
right?
This is our about 40th year playing together.
When did you guys first get together?
We started playing together in 85. It was our first sort of time when we played. And initially, Grassi did the vocals, and he played bass and clarinet, and I just was doing rudimentary guitar, and we had an original sort of frontman singer as well, David Baker, who would do some singing along with myself. And, you know, we've always had part of us in that Disney world of the 50s and those Technicolor films, and part of it in that experimental world of Tony Conrad and Terry Riley.
That was in Buffalo, right? First time out?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we were originally a Buffalo band, and we just got inducted into the Buffalo Hall of Fame.
Music Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Taking that and then relocating it to the Catskills and working on music there, and then ultimately with Deserter Songs, that's an album that I think it's fair to say gave you some currency, right? If you have an album that is that well reviewed and liked, so much so that you were able to go out on tour 25 years later and play that album. Where does that album fit for you guys now as you go about your day-to-day business of being musicians and making new music?
That's a
deep question. I'm sorry. I don't know where it came from.
It's, well, we love those songs and we play them. And, you know, a lot of the album is about the Catskills and about New York State in general. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, it informs us in that way. But also, everything we've done also informs some of the music from, like you said, you can hear some of the 90s stuff coming back and things like that. So I don't know, I think of time, it goes forwards and backwards at the same moments, and we draw from all those periods.
It's like having an old flame relationship that was a long time in your past. It still informs your new relationship with new albums. You are grateful for whatever you learned or whatever you went through years ago, but also as an artist, you're looking for that uncertainty of the new momentum. And we are grateful because Deserters really did allow us the next 25 years. It literally did. We might have just walked into the sea after our third album, if it didn't, or fourth album, you know, it would have been literally that was the case when we finished Deserters ourselves and Dave Fridman. We thought, well, this is it. You know, it's the height of Britpop when we recorded it in 97. Britpop had 3-minute pop songs with jangly guitars and very upfront vocals, and we were doing 7-minute songs with oboe solos. And we thought, well, okay, this is the end. Let's make some cassettes for some friends. And we gave it our best, and we'll, you know, go over the horizon quietly, I suppose. And then we got some reviews came in, or journalists started calling, especially from overseas, from Britain and Europe, and saying, what have you done? And we all took it the wrong way first. We said, we're sorry, we just weren't writing anthems like Oasis or Blur. And they're like, no, whatever it is you've done is magic. And it sort of caught us off guard, you know. We just didn't see it coming. And when we made Deserters, nobody was waiting for a Mercury Rev record. Not a label, not a manager, certainly not most people listening to alternative music at that time. So it was like making a record and assuming it was just going to be thrown off the cliff at the Grand Canyon and never be heard from again, until people like yourself picked picked us out for whatever ears reason you had to hear it. And you were, along with a few others, a champion that really did make a difference. And we can't thank you enough. And that's not just here on the radio. We've been friends for a long time. And it's those things that really are the reason we're able to come back, is because of the ears you had, not only for us, but for other bands that you love at that time, too.
That's really nice of you to say. And I think that, you know, I was very fortunate to be in a place where I had a big bullhorn that I could shout. I remember at the time we had, you know, this is public media, non-commercial radio, pledge drives are what keep us alive. Mm-hmm. And I remember when that album came out, we would use certain CDs in these pledge drives that we would offer to listeners. Okay, so if you support this show now for $100, we'll send you a 5-pack of CDs. And the Morning Becomes Eclectic 5-pack of CDs was the one. And I remember putting that album in that pack. And then my boss, who did the afternoon, said, well, I'm having that in my pack as well. So we played the crap out of Deserter songs for like 2 weeks and raised a whole bunch of money.
And awareness.
Yeah.
You know, of a band that we were at that time that was really seen as a weird, chaotic, maybe even a noisy outfit, the way people would have seen Mercury Rev in 95 and 96. It hadn't picked up on the orchestral side that we would become known for.
How do you feel people see you now? I mean, obviously, you've still got friends like myself and writers in the UK and other supports. So clearly, you made an impression on us. But how do you think people see Mercury Rev these days?
These days, I don't know. There's children who know our music from like Sing 2. It was in a big scene in that animated movie.
Oh, nice!
And it's like at our shows, there's all ages, and sometimes there's young children there at festivals and things, and there's people in their 80s and 90s and everything in between, and so I think it just strikes and still strikes a note in all the different people that strikes that chord.
Has it been taking this one out on the road? I know you've just finished this little run here on the West Coast, and you're going over to Europe and festivals beckon for the summer. And I know, obviously, you haven't toured as much recently. I know you weren't well for a while.
Yeah.
But coming back to it now and playing the new album, obviously, as well as mixing it with stuff from the past. How are you feeling being out there performing these songs?
Well, when the folks listening to your show get a chance to hear the tracks we just cut in your studio here, you'll get the sense that very much was always the spirit of Mercury Rev, which was a goulash of not just the punk rock we would have grown up with, but those early Disney films and the storytelling and some of the jazz. And maybe that's the best way that you could describe Mercury Rev audiences, is there's always been changes in the music, not always for commercial reasons, of course, but because we love different music. And so for some people, you'll hear them yell out in the middle of a set, you know, turn up the feedback. And then someone will say, I can't hear the strings. And there's different elements in our audience. And maybe that's a reflection of the bands that Grassi and I grew up with. Loving was people who changed quite often, Miles Davis, Dylan, just the sonic palette was never quite the same. And that is something that we don't like going over the same thing again and again musically. We're very conscious or protective of trying to find a new way of expressing something, not just for the sake of new, but just because we love music like that. We don't like retreading Holes number 5 or Goddess on a Highway number 4. We really are enamored with the process of finding a new expression.
Well, I'm super glad that you came in and played some songs for us today. And I will just let everybody know that we thought the band were going to play three songs. I walked into the studio after the third, and you guys were having such a good time.
We were.
You did another one. So thanks for swinging by. The album is called Born Horses, and it's my absolute pleasure to catch up with Grasshopper and Jonathan from Mercury Rev. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you, good friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I had a dream we were born.
The best way to stay up to date with the SoCal Sound is by signing up for our email newsletter. Get the inside scoop on station events, ticket giveaways, and pre-sale opportunities. Go to thesocalsound.org and click sign up for the email newsletter at the top of the homepage.
Love of ours, buried under moon and stars, older than both space and time, before fire was discovered and the old sands covered. These howling desert winds reveal that this ancient love of ours was real. Ancient love of ours that's been buried under moon and stars, once held in these hands of mine, beautiful, sacred, and so alive, long before the earth was cool, before human beings grew old and cruel, and life became so overwhelming, long before they drew a breath. You and I had no end. Long before they came to dig, I was on my knees to lift your fragile bones held in my hand, would shatter in any other man's. Covered by the sands of time, a golden age when you were mine.
Thank you.
ancient love of ours, buried under morning stars, older than both space and time. Thank you.
control of all the smoke-like streams that flow into your dreams. That big blue open sea that can't be crossed, that can't be climbed, just born between.
How does that old song go? like this, it goes like this, it must go like this.
And the tears ran, sparks flew between your hammer and my heart. Your hammer. Crippled in the stars before the tears ran and the kisses turned to scars. And from the moment it started, we just couldn't make it stop. But after all was said and done, it was a love affair to end all love affairs. Your hammer in my heart.
SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Nick Harcourt. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.